Welcome, Sojourners. You have found yourself a cozy place here at Sojourners Awake. I'm Jonathan, and this is our production of The Wild and the Wind. Like you, the Sojourners are on a mission, and sometimes that means taking a long rest. But out here in the wild, that would be very difficult to do. But due to some clever thinking and a witty surprise, the Sojourners rested inside a magical birdhouse. Now they have the road ahead of them, going into the town of Sultana. What will they find there? Certainly it will not be without incident. And so for now, our story continues.
Hey guys!
Ah. Oh my gosh! I am no longer a bird.
Wait, that was real?
You were there and you were there?
Irony, you made it through.
I made it through what? That dream was real. He looks at the birdhouse and kicks it across the hillside. It goes tumbling down the hillside. Get that thing away from me.
No, Birdie chases that and goes to get it. That's her precious heirloom.
You're crazy.
That was very rude of you, though. It didn't belong to you.
Make a persuasion check.
Oh, no. That face you made.
17.
He sighs. I'm sorry, Eris. You're right. I'll apologize to her. That I just cannot, any part of my rational mind, believe that we were birds in Birdie's birdhouse.
I'm going to put my arm around his shoulder and lean close. It's like, it's just not a good idea to kick things that might turn you back into birds.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Birdie's gonna march back up with her birdhouse in hand and get real close to Irony and say,
I'm sorry, Birdie. I'm so sorry.
Just so you know, I can punch you and I wouldn't throw my stuff around if I were you. But welcome to the group. And then she kind of manhandles him, like puts her claw. And you know what? Remember, we kissed. So,
well,
you kissed.
Well, no, it wasn't a kiss. It was more like a.
I didn't know that there was history here.
No, believe me, it wasn't history, and no, it wasn't a kiss. It was more of like a anxious response to stress, I think.
There's a story here. Speaking of story, I'm going to start looking around for my bag, for my journal. I need to record this immediately before I forget about it.
Ellen, that was incredibly genius. You can either choose the birdhouse has charges or it's still a test to see if you get a long rest. 18, 19, or 20 on a dice roll. But I'll let you add your survival modifier on the dice roll. How does that sound?
18.
And yet, as Irony pats himself, he looks at the wound received by the goblin blade. It's healing. Oh. Ooh. I'm sorry, Birdie. I guess that was a little bit better than sleeping out in the wild. And apparently safer. Four of you continue on throughout the mountainsides of Andor. The plain starts to become more level. The air starts to become more salty. And on the third day of travel, do you experience incident or does your journey happen peacefully? Eris, if you would roll a d6, on a 6, you encounter something unpleasant.
So I rolled a 5, but it bounced out of my box. Do you want me to roll again?
Yes.
Okay.
Wait, is it on the table?
It was on the table. Yeah, that's like fine. It's good. Just bounced and landed right as a 5 outside, so I just wasn't sure if it counted.
No, it's fine.
So, okay.
Yep, that's good.
Should have had me roll a d8. You know I'm rocking those 8s.
Birdie and Irony are ahead of Eris and Samoon, scouting a little bit further. Birdie trying to gain bearings of where Sultana is. You know that it's northwards, you know that it's heading a little bit more to the west, And when the ground becomes swampy and marshy in the scent of saltwater air, you know that you're getting closer to this humble fishing town. And while you're walking, Irony speaks with you. So Bertie, what do you remember of Sultana? Oh, what's your hometown like? I mean, how long has it been?
Well, I would say it's been at least 15 years, but I do check in from time to time. I write letters. I left a shopkeeper in charge of my dad's old shop. So we write letters back and forth.
Oh. And your dad, he doesn't have the shop anymore?
No, my dad passed away. My dad died. He's my adopted dad, or he's not my real dad. And he died shortly before I left. What I remember of Sultana is just that it's an old town. The people that live there only think about what's inside the town, and that's it. They don't think about what's going on in the outer world.
Well, times like these, that might be a good thing, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. Sometimes it can be frustrating, you know, when you're trying to help them see the bigger picture, help them understand that there's hope, or, you know, life isn't just about work or fishing. They don't understand that.
Yeah, I can understand that a little bit. In High Keep, we had access to everything that was going on in the world, or at least the communicating world at the time, different kingdoms and empires, and you know, it was a lot. It was rare to see like these small little villages and hamlets, and I've not gotten used to all this. I've not gotten used to the lack of money and supplies and things, to be honest. It seems so weird to be broke, to be outside the family's blessings.
Well, I've pretty much been broke my whole life, so only recently have I been able to make money, and that's just from fighting and doing other jobs, waiting tables, bartending, and punching goblins.
Did you take that birdhouse from Crankshaft's house?
No, I traded it. I traded it for a helmet. I had a helmet. Wow.
That guy won't trade for anything.
Well, I left my helmet and I took the birdhouse.
Oh, wait, so you didn't trade with him?
Well, it's a trade, but where I'm from, it's called a good trade. And it doesn't necessarily mean that both parties agree on the trade. It just means that both of the things are of equal value.
So he doesn't know you traded?
Well, I'm sure he does now, but he gained a really nice helmet, so.
So that's, and you can see the moral quandary bouncing around like a ping pong ball in his head. Stealing with extra steps.
No, because it's not really, because it's like you just bought something. I bought the birdhouse from him, and I paid him with the helmet.
That's buying without permission.
I mean, growing up, we had people come and we'd find like a goat missing, and I was okay with it because a lot of times they would leave like, you know, three or four chickens behind. So it was okay because the chickens were worth the same amount as the goat.
Is the helmet the same amount as the house?
I mean, I left more than that. I think I left, if I remember, I left some gold and I left my helmet, which was a thought. Reading helmet, I could read people's thoughts. And then I realized that people don't think well of me, and they don't think well of other people, and people are just generally rude. So I decided that I didn't want to listen to people's thoughts anymore, and I traded the helmet.
He's standing flabbergasted, and the two of you have paused on the hillside, Simone and Eris catching up shortly, and he asks you, so what was Eris saying about not remembering things? I mean, she can remember things, right?
I don't know, but I know that I my brain chooses not to remember things that make me sad. And so I don't remember a whole lot about my birth family. And I think that sometimes that's for the better, because if I went through something sad, then my brain will forget it and then I won't be sad. So maybe she has a sad past.
Oh, like she didn't get into the school she wanted.
Think a little bit bigger than that. I mean, I know you've grown up with a lot of money and stuff and you haven't experienced like hard things, but you're gonna have to like, you're gonna have to stretch your brain a little bit further, okay?
Okay.
There are worse things in the world than not making an A in
like getting kidnapped by a goblin while everybody leaves me up in a spider tree. That's what's worse. They said they were gonna eat me, Birdie.
Excuse me, you're gonna have to toughen up if you're gonna hang with us. Otherwise, I'm just gonna ditch you right here.
He drops his shoulders as Birdie turns away. Eris and Samoon, you approach at this heated conversation.
Is everything all right?
It's fine.
Okay.
Irony's just being a wuss.
Oh, okay. I'm sure he's not really being a wuss.
No, he is. He's complaining about the goblin thing, and he's really annoying me, and I almost got eaten by a spider. And I'm not complaining, and he's complaining.
Well, we all perceive life-threatening scenarios differently. And if he was a little startled, it's okay, Irony.
Yeah, it's okay, Irony. I mean, I almost got eaten by a spider and it was speaking to me. And I tried to tell it, yeah, it was speaking to me. I said, what do you want? Yeah, it said it wanted to eat me. So I said, I kept asking it why. And it just said that it had to eat me faster because it doesn't like talking food.
Oh.
But anyway, I mean, you know,
this is just
things that happen in life.
Does this happen to you often?
Yeah, Irony.
So you, Samoon, do you speak to things that want to eat you often?
No, I can't say that I've spoken to something that's wanted to eat me before. There was that serpent in the Skyworld area, but I don't remember him saying much. No, this is the first.
Oh. She's got her journal out in her hand while they're walking, and she's just taking notes on everything we're talking about as they go. She's kind of gotten used to writing while walking and has kind of that gait to keep it smoother. Not as smooth as it could be, but you're all very interesting friends that I have.
Irony walks away, not sure how to handle the entire interaction and situation. Seems off-putted by Eris's patronizing and seems very hurt by Birdie's call to action and perplexed by Samoon's story.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say Samoon will kind of quickly run up to Irony and just like grab him on the shoulder.
Hey look, Irony, I know it's okay if you were afraid, that's no problem, but remember what I taught you. Even though our lessons were short, you still have the staff. So just trust what I taught you and you will be fine. I mean, we are here, so there's not too much to worry about, but you're not completely defenseless, you know?
Well, I was. Y'all had just left for a little bit and then I turned around to see all these goblins that had snuck up on me. I wasn't even paying attention. I was just so focused on the tree, thinking that one of y'all would get hurt.
Yeah, you know, and
it all happened so fast.
That's true, and you know, that, to be honest, that was not wise on my part to just leave you like that. Because we do have to look out for each other, especially in the wilderness. So you're not wrong there. So for that, I apologize for leaving you, Irony.
Everyone always seems so comfortable in the wild, and I don't. I hate it out here. I hated it in the birdhouse.
Yeah, that was a new one for me as well.
Birdie, as you scout on ahead, you see on the side of the pathway a building that has suffered the effects of fire, old and ruined. A small sign stands at the entrance, and a statue of a man who is deep into the earth and forming some sort of sculpture from the mud. The place looks like it has
been burned down and wrecked for over 50 years. And under the guise of the forest and nature, it stands there. How do you proceed?
Recognize the statue?
You look over at the statue and you see that it is a shrine to Yahanath, the man sculptor. Legend says this god formed each human out of the dirt of the earth, crafting them, breathing life into them. The sign reads, Yahanath's Orphanage, a home for children.
Do I recognize it as like getting closer to, like have I seen it before?
And you now recall stories of this orphanage just a few miles outside of Sultana, where children who were found would end up here and live here. Some children were adopted in the city, such as yourself, but many lived here until the end of their life.
Birdie walks up over to the remains of the building and kind of just gets sad and says, can you believe this happened, Mom? And then just kind of looks at the statue and turns around and says, hey guys, we're real close. It's only just like a couple miles ahead.
You know, I don't know who made the orphanage that I was raised in, but this looks, I wouldn't say similar, because where I come from, there's a lot more dragonborn. So they believe different things in this side of the world, but I like to see that there was at least something for the kids like me on this side. I wonder what happened here. Do you think they moved to someplace new?
It doesn't look like they moved anywhere. Simon, so you didn't know your parents?
No, I remember just always being in the orphanage since I could remember. I was told that I was found after a great sandstorm, which they called a Samoon, and so they just named me after it. But no, I just grew up in the orphanage with my friends.
Why did you leave?
Well, I mean, for one, I kind of grew up. They only watch after youth to a certain age. But I don't know, I felt like my life was I love the desert, but I just feel like my life was meant to be a traveler. So I took this job for the orphanage, who they ran a library there in the town that I'm from, where Brother Doga was serving. And they asked me to take him to Volta, because I kept in good touch with them, and I would run errands for them. And then they asked this of me, and so I don't know, that's just how I got here. I escorted him to Volta, and then I met Birdie, and Trina, and you. And yeah, this is just where my story currently is.
The hillsides level under your feet, and the air introduces the smell of the ocean once again. In your sight, a fishing village rests on the edge of a horseshoe bay. Fishing boats moor in the harbor, and you hear children swimming in a nearby cove. A white lighthouse stands vigil on the coast of the Salt Bay. Birdie, you have returned to Sultana. You start to recognize the familiar signposts and little shops on the outside of the town.
Well, guys, I guess we're here. If we want to rest, we can go stay in my old house or my shopkeep area. Is anybody hungry? I know a great place to eat.
Samoon inhales a deep breath of this ocean air.
You know, even though Baltop seems to be by the ocean as well, the air still seems different here.
I just love that. I think this place is pretty nice. Wait, did you just say food?
And Simoon, when you draw in a deep breath, along with the ocean air, you get the starch, acidic stench, leaving a metallic taste in your mouth.
Oh, what? Wait, hold on, Bertie. I'm starting to taste something. Why does my mouth taste weird? It's like a weird taste in my mouth now, all of a sudden.
Irony coughs a little bit.
It does smell a little bit different, like sulfury, or like somebody farted, or I don't know. And it doesn't normally smell like this. It normally smells like a little like fish, really.
You smell the strong brimstone and sulfur in the air. It lingers slightly, causing you to cough and tickle in the back of your throat.
Something is not correct around here. Is there anything in my knowledge or history that I would recognize what this scent means? Anything I've been around in my occultic family?
Yes, there is a demonic lingering presence. And when you look over at one of the signposts, there's a crow who is staring back at you with wild, crazy eyes and drooling a sort of black liquid out of its mouth. A little black liquid splashes upon the signpost, sizzling it, leaving a stain on the wood.
Can I shoot it with my crossbow?
Eris, you instinctively pulls out the crossbow and fires off a bolt. The bird splatters into a dust of feathers.
Birdie, has your hometown always been like this?
No. This is definitely weird. I don't actually see anybody around either. That's kind of weird too.
At that point, a peddler pushing a cart of hanging herbs and onions and grasses is stowing away his cart in a nearby roadside shack on the edge of town. He nods over at you and doesn't do much of a greeting, and then turns back into his shack to start unloading his supplies.
Let me go see. I'm going to go just talk to this guy. Excuse me, sir?
Sorry. I'm closed for the day. But you can find me out in the market square tomorrow.
He starts to uncork a bottle of alcohol and then turns to dismiss, expecting you just to walk away and leave.
Hey, what's going on here? It seems changed.
What happened to what?
Oh, this place, it has this funny smell to it.
I don't smell anything. It smells like...
And he pulls out a large booger from his nose and flicks it off to the side.
It smells normal. What are you talking about? Who do you think you are?
Well, I'm Birdie Cartwright, and I used to live over there, and she points to the direction where her house is.
He chokes back a little bit of alcohol, laughing. Here, Birdie Cartwright. And then he looks at you.
By the devil, you're Birdie Cartwright.
He slaps his leg.
Hello. I didn't think you were real.
He goes to half shake.
Of course I'm real.
He goes to half shake your hand in a very awkward fashion and recoils.
Yeah, of course you're real. Yeah. Well, welcome home.
Thank you. And then she just walks away.
Birdie reconvenes with Eris and Simoon.
That guy was a drunk.
While Birdie was speaking with the gentleman, could I do an investigation check now that sulfuric scent is kind of really hitting Simoon to see if he feels like there's something about the air that feels very familiar to him, but he hasn't scented it in quite some time.
Yeah, make an investigation check. Go for a 12 or higher to see if you instantly recall.
So that's a 17 as is.
You look over beneath the signpost and see the crow with an arrow through its chest. The shaft of the arrow has already begun to sizzle with heat, and the crow dissolving into a puddle of black goo that stains the green grass. And then your eyes wander over to the hut of the onion peddler, and upon the wall there is a shadow that lurks in an unnatural fashion. As you look at it, it peels itself off of the wall and sinks into the grass, leaving behind a foul stain. Something demonic is afoot.
Cement. Normal, lighthearted charm escapes him. And the look on his face turns into one of great seriousness. Like he's not been seen before amongst the group. Pretty much like the point of like, he's no longer in the mood for jokes. His senses are starting to just pop around and scour the area for more signs.
And Birdie, how do you lead the party?
I'm just gonna take them back to, since everything seems sort of weird here and not normal, we're not gonna go to the restaurant that I was thinking about, and we're just gonna head straight to my house.
When you knock on the door, Winston answers it, immediately embraces you. Birdie! Welcome home. He grabs you inside and welcomes everyone inside and introduces them. Hello, I'm Winston. Pleasure to meet you. Welcome to Sultana. And so for now, our story concludes.
Every story comes to an ending, so for now we must conclude. Thank you for listening, Sojourners. Your attention will not go unrewarded, and we look forward to continuing this adventure. If you enjoyed this background music and ambiance, visit Tabletop Audio. Find them at www.tabletopaudio.com. And take the time to sojourn with us. For articles on playing your very own Dungeons & Dragons games, visit sojournersawake.com. You can also find us being inspirational on Facebook and Instagram. If you'd like to subscribe to my newsletter for heartwarming tales around the table, you can visit Sojourner's Awake newsletter at Substack. But however you choose to sojourn with us, as always, may your story continue.